Until she suits, though. I thought he'd be on here until he suits.
Yeah. Well, anyway, did they already do the committee?
I didn't think so. I talked to Jenny today, and I don't know if she talked to the chairman or Jim did, but I thought that nothing was going to change until next week.
So right. what?
That was my...
But John was on here last month, right?
Yeah.
So he still be, because she's not on the board yet.
Right. That's what I was told today.
Right. Okay, well, we've got both of the governance, and we're in good shape. Approval of the minutes from the previous meeting. Have everyone received those? Any additions, corrections, or we can have a motion?
Motion approved.
Second.
Supervisor Iske, second by Monica, you guys. All those in favor, you the governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Chairman, committee member. Well, everybody received a copy of the budget meetings and schedule. You can see on the second page when we're at finance, and that's a good night, folks. It's right after the library, so we'll be on time. You can figure that will be a couple, well, they give it a couple, or they give it an hour. It's going to be longer than that usually, but still not bad. Not going to be there till 11. Not a bad night to sit there and iron things out. Chairman, committee members, supervisors. Well, that's one of my comments. As I will mention at the Fox River Park today, but going through and creating schools from all over the cross country. I pulled in there, I was thinking, I better stop these people from parking on the grass. I'd have been lynched. They were parking on the grass all the way to parking lot two. And buses and schools, whatever it was. And last week, Thursday, just prior to the Packer game, I was at the sustainable walkthrough with the extension, and our park was highlighted. We had 60 people that were signed up for that. They limited it to 60, and they were turning people away. And then we went to the farm up three doors down, if you count hundreds of acres as doors, and saw what they're doing down there in the same vein as what we're doing at the park. So that was really nice. The last thing I have is, you get a lot of letters, you get a lot of feedback from people about the county, but I got a letter, I think it was on, probably Tuesday last week, from a Mrs. Thelma Dunn, and I knew the name, and I didn't know how I knew it, but I realized that the Dunhams were related to the Vossler Mertens, who used to own the Katy Park, that when it was a farm, years ago. So this was addressed to me. Dear Dennis, I know Katy Park has been an important part of your agenda, so I felt I would write to you and express my gratitude and praise for the assistance we received from the Park Department when we donated a bench to honor my husband, Richard Dunham, when he passed away. Matt was so helpful in choosing an appropriate message to go on the bench. The friendliness of the staff at the county building was truly appreciated, especially at a sorrowful time. Garrett Meter and his crew are to be commended for their work. Even though this summer was wet, he and his crew did a great job of readying the site. The cement work was perfect. The clearing of the site showed concern for the present time and the future, and helping us to choose to move the site a bit so we could have a better view was so helpful. The bench is on the southwest side of the lake, just south of the shelter. It's been a long time since I heard anyone speak with pride about his job, as Garrett did. He is so proud of the park system. What a great PR man he makes. Thank you again for getting the great park off to such a great place. The intention to keep it educational is laudable. I hope you can keep it that way. We saw the land go from the family, Fossler Merton Farm, to a gravel pit to this wonderful endeavor, so we feel a bit vested in it, sincerely, Thelma Dunn. So I gave Garrett a copy of this the day he returned from work from his father passing away, and it was to cheer him up. I had just gotten in the mail, I stopped back in there, gave Matt a copy, and Ray. So I thought you folks should hear it. Our people do a great job all the time. It was very nice of Mrs. Dunham to write that. A lot of people don't write their thanks. They think it in their head, but it was something that I thought you'd all like to hear. So that's all I have. Any other supervisors have anything? This evening, if not, we'll move right into facilities. Mike.
Starting with
citizens' comments.
No one's here.
All right. I know there's nobody here. I know. All right, citizens' comments.
Usually, you cover it no matter what. So.
All right, go ahead now.
Sorry to be so technical. Starting with ongoing project, courthouse chiller replacement project. Commissioning was done. I'm happy to say the project is completed as of 8/16, so that will be off the list. Second project is the KCC chiller replacement. Nothing new to report on that one. Third one is the new one I added last time, the remote generator monitoring project, which is this year just the one generator in pretrial. That installation took place and was completed on 8/15. It's not quite done yet. We still have to do owner training on the software, and that's set up for the end of September. And hopefully next year we continue on with the others. New project that Ray's been talking about, the planning development remodeling. A bid was awarded to Rash Construction on 8/16 for $110,000. Work starts on October 1st and is set for completion on November 8th. That's ongoing projects. Focus on energy spreadsheet. The only thing that changes there is moving the courthouse chiller replacement from ongoing to complete. That is my report.
Any questions for Mike? Thank you, Mike. You're doing Frank's.
Yeah, a couple of Frank's.
Frank's in
Italy at a cousin's wedding, yeah. So the Anderson Arts Center preservation project is on track. I've sat in for Frank at the progress meetings, and everything is really turning out well. HVAC rough-in 65% complete. The windows and shutters restoration process is at least 60% complete. East half of the roof elevation is 90% complete. West half 75%. New toilet rooms are being constructed in the garage are about 80% complete, and we're still on track for first part of November. They're hedging a little bit on November 1st, but I'm going to say for sure within the first week of November it'll be done. And they have their big fundraiser is the they have all the Christmas trees set up there, and that starts November 18th, so they should have everything ready to roll so they can get that set up for their big fundraiser in November. Ceremonial courtroom restoration, scoping project. Architect is at the point where he is compiling that report now and the cost estimates for the restoration. And we continue to pursue sources of public and private grant funding. Haven't had a ton of luck at this point, but we still are hopeful that we've got a couple of bigger private sources that we'll hopefully be able to work with, but it's going to take some time. So that's where that's at. Joint Services Evidence Area Renovation. I think this is new this month. This is actually a Joint Services project, but we, as we did with the gun range, that was actually a Joint Services project that takes place in our building, so that we assist them in anything that they engage in, because it typically also involves other parts of the building's infrastructure. And this is going to be no exception. Met with the architect 2 weeks ago to give us an update on where things are about 65%, 70% design. Preliminary cost estimates are $980,000 to $1.2 million. We're hoping to get that ready to go out for bid yet before the end of the year and then do construction next year. We talked with the architect, and this is kind of eye-opening, because you know the project isn't massive, it's, I mean, it's a seven-figure project, but it's not massive, but the nuances, given the need to manage everything that's in the evidence area right now, and you have to preserve that chain of evidence in a very strict way, we need to temporarily move all that stuff out of there to somewhere else in the building, and we still have to develop a system for the daily influx of new evidence, as well as the outflow for court-related functions. And so we started to talk through how this could be phased to create what they need to in the existing space with the new equipment that's going to allow them to, I don't know the exact number, I'm going to say at least double the capacity of what they can store in there. It's going to be pretty nuanced. So we, as we talked it through with the architect, we determined that it was definitely going to make sense. Even though we don't typically use a construction manager approach on smaller projects, it's really going to make sense to do it on this project so that we can get a contractor involved early in the project, in the design process, so that we can ensure all this kind of detail stuff gets sorted out early on. So we're working on putting that together so we can help them pick a construction manager for that project. So That's what's going on with that project. If, like I say, if all goes as planned, they should have the designs done by, I'm going to say, the end of November or some, before the end of the year anyways. Those are the things Frank's got going on.
Yes, sir.
So under the Anderson Arts Center project, the preservation project, when you say it's going to be complete in November, that's it. There's nothing else that needs to be done. It's 100% complete what was planned to do.
Yeah, the only
not thing for 2019, I mean complete.
Yeah, we don't have any further plans okay. for anything.
No, when you say complete, I want to know it's complete.
The exterior will be complete. There may be some landscaping stuff.
Yeah, right. There might be some out there. Yeah, I understand that. I'm talking about on the facility itself.
No, that'll be it. Yeah, okay. The exterior shell of that building will be preserved so that there won't be any water infiltration, and the HVAC will be installed. So those were the goals.
And then the joint services evidence area renovation, or that whole project that's $980,000, $1.2 million. Is that our budget or theirs, or is it shared?
It actually shows up in our budget as part of the law enforcement. If you remember, there was that package of law enforcement, which was the storage building for the Sheriff's Department, the build-out of the second floor of the PSB, and the fleet maintenance building. And then the third piece was the gun range, and this is the fourth piece. This is the last piece of that whole chunk of law enforcement stuff.
Okay. Yeah, because I was going to ask, the gun range also was in our budget.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
We still, it gets, as we talked last time, Supervisor Uhas brought it up, that those costs get allocated per the IGA between us and the city. Anything that's spent capital-wise for joint services, those costs, there's a very specific formula that's laid out how those costs. We just front the money as part of our budget, but we get reimbursed by the city for a portion of that.
Do we know what our reimbursement would be on? Do we know ahead of time on these types of projects what their reimbursement will be?
Yeah, it's a very defined formula that, on how it works.
So we'll know when this, when we get bids in, or when we at least decide what we're going to do, what Kenosha is going to be.
Right. When we get a final number on what the costs are going to be, we'll know per the formula how it gets split up.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else for?
Thank you.
Benito. So we will move on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think in front of all of you, there's a resolution for your consideration, and that resolution is to request that UP Railroad repair the railroad crossing on County Trunk Highway E. We got calls from concerned citizens regarding the state of the railroad crossing on County Trunk Highway E, and we've been struggling to get the UP Railroad to repair those damages on the railroad crossing. Unfortunately, we've not been successful, so we decided that it would be wise to go this route by tabling a resolution and then sending it the resolution to the railroad crossing, the railroad company, to repair those damages. So what you have in front of you now is a resolution to ask request that the UP Railroad repair those railroad crossings.
And we also, don't we copy the railroad commissioner?
Right, I was going to give a little background, because I don't think we've had to do one of these with this. I know Chairman Elderman's seen it before, but I don't think, the process is, we always contact the railroad company first. They're less than customer service oriented, I will say that. Then we typically go to the railroad commissioner's office, who has more weight, and then we try to get them to kind of beat up the railroad, and then that usually doesn't get anywhere, and so then we have to go this route where there's a formal resolution that goes to the county, to the Public Works Committee, and then to the full board, and then that usually is what it takes to actually get them to make the repairs. And this intersection and the other one, both of them are, I mean, there's floating chunks of concrete that have broken loose. There's typically 6 or 8 anchor bolts that go down about a foot or more into timbers that are underneath. And those are all broken loose. So there's literally probably a 500-pound chunk of concrete that's floating right now in the one, actually in both of these cases, that's what's going on.
That's what's sick.
And there's been some, the potential for really bad things to happen is high. And so
a result of a use for over time?
I'm going to just say it just kind of happens. Yeah, there's, it could be, if they had a preventative maintenance program, probably this wouldn't happen, but I don't think preventive maintenance and railroad, you can't use those two in the same sentence. So there is not a lot of preventive maintenance that takes place. That's what these are the result of.
I have a question. Is it normal for like the railroad company to give you a very hard time on fixing?
It's pretty typical, unfortunately.
Each time that I've been dealing with it, and each time that we do what we're doing tonight, they fix it.
Yeah. But yeah,
as soon as the railroad commissioner for the state gets it and we do this, then they fix it. But they don't until then.
Motion to approve.
It's a squeaky wheel, huh?
Yeah. Moved by Supervisor Skolinski, second by Supervisor Nordegan. To approve the resolution. Any further discussion? If not, you can govern.
The second resolution is similar, but this is on County Trunk Highway L, so it's just the same narrative.
Motion approved.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Juhas. Motion by Supervisor Skolinski. Any further questions?
The only thing I want to add on this one, we just found out they made what we consider a temporary repair on this one on Labor Day. But it's temporary, and so that's why we said no, we're still going through with the resolution to make sure that. But I just want the committee to be aware.
I did consider that as a repair, so.
Okay, so I wanted, in case there was feedback or something like, oh, it's a band-aid what they did, so. It's compensated, it's not a repair. Okay.
All repairs are temporary.
So there's no further discussion. You can go ahead.
Aye.
Okay. Also in front of you is an ordinance for your consideration for the installation of the four-way stop at County Trunk Highway EA and County Trunk Highway A intersection. Back in May, we got a resolution from the village of Somers requesting that we install we convert a two-way stop intersection into a four-way stop. We carry out the traffic analysis for four-way stop warrants, and we determined that in 2019, we had about, just to give you a perspective, 2019, the first 7 months, we had about 9 crashes, and all of them could be mitigated using the four-way stop. Prior to 2019, it did meet warrants, but in 2019, which is probably associated with the detour traffic from the construction zone in the Foxconn area. So we based on the analysis and the, what the data is showing, we are recommending that that four-way stop be installed at that intersection.
Mike?
So I'm very familiar with this area, and obviously the traffic due to the construction and the detours and so on and so forth really causing an increase in volume on both A and EA. However, you know, when KR is finished and some of the reroutings take place, it's going to die back down.
Correct.
And then it is not warranted. Is there an opportunity for us to remove it later?
Correct.
Okay?
Yes.
Go ahead. Sorry.
So I apologize. My mind was still in Mexico.
Well, I don't blame you.
I forgot to give the documents, the report, to include it for when it was submitting the, sending out the information. So here you have just the executive summary, and I apologize for that. Promise you next month I'll be fully here. Oh, sorry, just
I will share.
So, yeah, when we did this study, we found out that and one of the recommendations is that I think we're anticipating by 2022, 2023, 2024, most of those construction would have been completed. And so we are hoping that we're shooting for 2025. The analysis or the study will be carried out again, and if the warrants are met, then we'll maintain the four-way stop. If not, then we'll switch it back to two-way stop.
So, is that who keeps track, right?
We do.
We're talking 6 years away, right?
We do.
None of us may even be sitting in this room in 6 years. So, how do we assure that we come back? Is that just on a?
Well, we just have to put it in our schedule. I would just make sure that I find a way of making sure that it's been
okay.
It's some way of reminding us.
And it, like I said, if we come back, we take a look at 6 years, and there's still no volume because of the development that's going to be taking place out there. We
sure.
Leave it alone, but I'd hate to sure. choke off rural traffic for no reason whatsoever.
Sure.
Okay. Motion approved.
Second. Motion by Supervisor Sikorski, second by Supervisor Nordigan. Youth and Governance.
Aye.
Committee.
Aye. Aye.
Also, we didn't include it in this package, but we plan to put it in the next agenda, for next month agenda. The speed study on County Trunk Highway AH from SA to 56th Avenue. It didn't meet warrants for any speed reduction. So
it did or it didn't?
It did not.
Oh.
So the study is completed. Unfortunately, I don't have the report here. That's why we're going to be presenting next month. But we just thought that we should share that information just in case you get calls about what the results were.
Okay. And what road is that? What's the
County Trunk Highway AH from SA to 256th Avenue.
And what were they look? What were we evaluating?
Speed
round or two? Or?
Yeah, two. They're requesting that we should reduce the speed limit from 55 down to 35. I think.
And it just history.
No.
Thank you.
And I remember at the Salem Lakes Village meeting, they were pretty well known that that was going to be the result, but they wanted it to be looked at anyway. So, yeah, I don't think they'll be surprised.
Okay. With that, I think I'll go to the divisional report. Basically, the month of August, we've just continued with the general summer maintenance operations and paving the paving program. We completed about 2 miles of County Trunk Highway paving on County Trunk Highway X from County Trunk Highway JB to State Trunk Highway 142. On state walk, where we also carried out miscellaneous asphalt coal patching at various locations on State Trunk Highway 31 and on State Trunk Highway 50. We also perform maintenance operation on state highways, general maintenance, that is like mowing, shouldering, and things like that, which are the basic things that we typically do during summertime. We also did paving, spot repair, asphalt spot repair, which was basically paving certain sections. Most of you must have seen them in Paddock Lake. We have some spot repairs there, spot paving. We also did that for the state. So generally, month of August was just general maintenance, nothing too fancy to talk about. But I'd also just like to make mention here that there'll be some project coming up. I think State Trunk Highway 83 is scheduled for resurfacing. It's scheduled to start this week. So you'll probably be seeing some truck traffic around that area.
What part of 83?
83 from Highway 50 to JV.
Going north.
Going north.
Oh,
yes.
For real.
Thank God.
You guys taking all the way down to the bed?
No, they're just doing resurfacing, which is it's just going to be abandoned. And
We argued with the state. We're not doing it. They're contracting them.
Because they ground those high spots down. It's been, what, 3 years, 4 years like that? Racine fixed their side. And welcome to Kenosha County.
It was a state project, same contractor all the way through.
Right, but the Racine side was done, right?
I don't think.
No.
Yes. When they did this section.
Okay, so they did the section side of the song. They did the north side of it first.
Yeah, when they did this section, when they constructed it, I want to say it was 2005 or something like that. Well, arguably, they didn't do what they should have done to build it the correct way. And so it was like within 2 or 3 years, there was already issues. Right. And they kind of band-aided it once. They had us do some patching. Then they had us do some grinding. And now they've got a contractor that they're going to. Are they going to pulverize it at least?
No, they're just milling and overlay.
Milling and overlay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know.
You don't want.
We argued with them about what probably would be the right thing to do long term, but they felt the need to do what they're doing.
Well, so did the town of Wheeland argue with them.
Right.
They had informational meetings, and local people did. And even some of the contractors there, everybody says it's a drainage and a base problem. The base, and so if they don't go to that base, it's coming back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they paid us to do that grinding a couple of years ago. And it's $1 million. It's paying a dollar, I think, at the contractor.
That's right.
And when's it supposed to start?
I think it starts this.
It's supposed to start today.
Today, yeah.
At least mobilization. Yeah.
Probably next week with the rain.
Since the state owns a contract on that, any idea on is Payne and Dolan going to put some life expectancy? You mean 5 years, 2 years? Otherwise, we're the ones, state will move off, and you won't be able to get them back on that thing for who knows how long, right?
Well,
as it turns into a washboard again.
Yeah.
It's a state highway.
It's a state highway, and generally when they do like 2 or 3 inch overlay, it's not considered a full reconstruct, and so they don't perform all those tests and guarantees, so to speak, all the life expectancy that you're expecting, because it's considered abandoned. So what they're doing is they're just trying to hold the road as long as possible to when they get there to reconstruct. So generally that's the idea, but I hope they are considering a band-aid, because they might be considering that's their repair, who knows. Another project that is on the horizon is that State Trunk Highway 50 will be reconstructed, I think, in 2022. So the design, they've started collecting data for the design. There's a public information meeting that will be coming up this month, in 26th. And I think what they are proposing here is the right fix. It's going to be a complete reconstruction. They're going to remove everything, scrape out the base, make sure they take it down to as deep as possible, have an 18-inch breaker, 6-inch gravel, and 9.5-inch concrete. So it's going to be a concrete pavement or an asphalt pavement. And I think that is almost like constructing this.
And that's on Highway 50 where?
Highway 50 from Paddock Lake from 256th Avenue to 236th Avenue, just offset a little bit.
Basically, that part that all the way to breaks KD. Down, that we have just, to patch for them three times a year.
Just from F, yeah. From F all the way down to just east of the park.
Oh, okay.
It should, because what Clement, he went to the meetings and we talked about it. It sounds like they're addressing the drainage, all the stuff that should actually, because that we typically do pretty significant repairs on that three times a year. They're paying us for it, but it's really silly. So now if they engineer this properly and construct it properly, it should really at least minimize, if not eliminate, that stuff that goes on every year. So it's good to see that they're actually taking the right approach with this.
So generally, that's why the maintenance projects and activities that are going on. If you don't have any question, I'll move on to projects. So the first project, of course, is County Trunk Highway S Phase 1. We've submitted plans to the state, and so the plans are under reviews, plans and specs. Right-of-way acquisition is ongoing, and again, completion of the right-of-way acquisition is targeted by the end of the year. Our legal counsel is still working on resolving the issue with one of the property owner of one of the full take. Yes. And we are going through the process. It's quite a slow process, but we are hoping that we're going to resolve it as quickly as we can. And then environmental abatement is completed, for most of those project properties that were fully acquired, and demolition will begin as soon as possible. We are targeting that the bidding for this project will be sometime in 2019 and construction, but it's ending of 2019 and construction will begin spring of 2020. County Trunk.
I do have a question on that. Just when construction begins, is that going to start off at O and come back towards F so you can keep the traffic going through? Is that how that's going to work?
Well, this is S.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at F. You're on S?
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Wait your turn.
My mistake.
We don't really care about that right now. Yeah.
I was on looking at the wrong one. Okay.
County Trunk Highway S Phase 2, which is the county funded section. The plans, I think the plans are substantially completed. And so we've reviewed them. We're still looking at them. We'll continue reviewing them until we bid them sometime by the end of the year. Right-of-way acquisition is also ongoing. It's almost complete. It's, I would say, that when I say complete, I'm talking about the partial takes, because the full take, only one property is still pending, and it's the county legal representatives are working on resolving it out of court as well. Other than that, we're working now on the partial takes, which are just the strip, and they're a little bit slow, and hopefully we'll complete it before the end of the year. We're also scheduled shooting for putting out the bid in maybe by the end of the year as well, so maybe November, December, we don't know yet. And construction also is also scheduled for April of 2020, or spring of 2020. County Trunk Highway F.
Thanks for getting your guys out there to cut that bush down in 100th there. It makes a big difference.
Thank you, sir. County Trunk Highway F, the state is also reviewing plans and specifications that were submitted early in August. Right-of-way acquisition remains in process, targeting completion for the end of October. The county continues to work to develop memorandum of understanding for property owners directly impacted by the project, and also working on intergovernmental agreement for Randall and the village of Twin Lakes. Again, this project is also scheduled for construction to start in the spring of 2020.
We'll have that meeting with the town and the village Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah. Yep. 4 o'clock.
Yep.
And you're.
Yep.
They don't have a PDAC meeting, so if it runs late, I'm okay.
Oh, okay. Either way, I'm hoping we'll be done by 5:30.
Yeah.
Typically, we do not dictate the staging of the project. When the contractor bids the project, then it provides us with a schedule for how it's going to run the project and how it's going to do, I mean, how it's going to tackle the project and how it's going to stage it. And that is at that time that I'll be able to tell you whether it's coming from the south, from the east going west, or from the west going east.
Wouldn't the consideration of current traffic patterns that you don't have to interrupt until you actually open that road up, wouldn't that be a primary focus for,
yes,
for any? Because obviously, construction, vehicles, don't mix,
yes,
you know? Get them off and do it the other side. I mean,
yeah, the good thing is that the majority of the section of the road is not, it has no traffic because it's on private property.
Over there, right.
Yes.
Yeah, I was talking about where it is now. Yeah. Where F currently.
That's not going to be disturbed. All the new grading. And
yeah, right. That's all over. That's what I'm saying.
So traffic patterns won't change.
So you're not going to, what I'm getting at is you're not going to partially open the road and close off F currently as it sits. You're going to wait until that road is completed, then do the work on the cul-de-sac.
Now, what he's talking about is the construction around the triangle bar,
right,
that section.
Right.
Yeah, that's something that we'll have to plan, especially with the locals. And that's why it's very important that when we have the last public information meeting before we start construction, we can then come and provide all those concerns.
So, full understanding,
so that the contractor is aware, yeah, and then the contractor will use that to plan how he stages the work.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So I think we're going to have one more public information meeting just before the construction starts, and then you can present all those concerns, and then they're going to use that to plan their work.
Very good. Thank you.
County Trunk Highway K. Right now, the design and utility relocation coordination is ongoing. The county is also continuing to work with the city to determine how to incorporate the design of the section between the two railroad tracks. Because the two railroad tracks is actually supposed to be the city section to construct, so we'll be working with them to see how we can construct it at the same time. The city and the county are also continuing to discuss stormwater utility relocation and funding options. So the stormwater management there is a little bit challenging. There's a pond, there might be some relocation of the creek, and so we really need to really work it out, otherwise it's going to impact the FEMA claims that were just recently applied on the south side of K. And so then it needs a lot of people to come together. So it's a little bit challenging, but very interesting because it's taking us in areas that we've never dealt with before, which is good. In terms of we are still shooting for construction for next year, but again, with all these challenges, it's not a guarantee. There are some miscellaneous projects. They are not county nor state projects, but I just wanted to bring them here because it has a lot of impact to traffic. So when they do occur, if you have questions from constituents, what's going on in this area, at least you could have some idea what's happening. The first one is the Ravine Park Partners Development, which is on the northwest corner of County Trunk Highway E and State Trunk Highway 31. They broke ground last week. So it's a residential stroke business development, and they'll be using E for most of their construction traffic. So E will be seriously impacted, and so we'll keep you posted as the traffic pattern changes. We'll try as much as possible to make sure that it's still as safe as to the traveling public as much as possible. The next one is the Lakeshore Natural Gas Lateral Project. We met about, I think, 4 months ago or 5 months. We brought this to this committee's attention that We Energy had plans to construct a gas main from Walworth County to Kenosha County. I think in your packet you have a map that shows the two options, the two routes, the two options that they are proposing. So the project is under review right now. I'm not sure whether they've really chosen one of the options. We're trying to find out whether they've made a determination, because they've already had their public hearing and testimony as far as this project is concerned, but I wasn't fortunate to get that information. So I would still say that, well, they're still under review, and whenever they get the right path, then we'll let you know. But it's going to impact the local community, especially on the north side of Kenosha County. We do not know exactly what the impact will look like, because we don't have plans yet. As soon as we know, we'll share that with you too as well.
Just two questions. One's on the culvert at Katie and 117. When I originally brought that up, I think you had said, yeah, you just get in there, maybe blow it out, blow it through. But then the county came and really messed it up. I mean, they whatever they did by digging out what they did, and damn near taking the sign down, is what's causing all that water to still sit there. And now you're looking at either trenching the rest of the way or pulling that up and resetting it, right? Are you talking about giving now Randall the bill for that? Because had you gone through and had just blown it through.
Yeah, the culvert's it's collapsing, and it's at the wrong elevation. In order for it to function, the culvert needs to be replaced and set at the right elevation to cause the water to drain from one side to the other.
I understand. So it was only clogged. That's all it was.
And we blew that out. Okay. And we probably did some minimal cleaning on each end of it. But it doesn't change the elevation of the culvert.
No,
so fundamentally, that's the root cause. So the root cause needs to be addressed. And so that's when I explained that to the chairman and gave him what it was going to cost to do that. That's where I left it.
Have they met on that at all?
I don't know. Okay. Yeah, because I sent a reminder to him maybe 2 weeks ago, just asking, hey, we're getting our fall schedule put together.
Yeah.
And if you want us to do this work, we'll do it, but we need to get it pretty soon so we can get it in the fall.
Did you give any cost, at the estimated cost?
Yeah, it's $4,000.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Just not a big cost.
All right, I think that's it. Thanks.
Okay, the Foxconn and other DOT projects. County Trunk Highway K enhancement project. The three westbound lanes are all completed and open to traffic by directional traffic, and they are now working on the eastbound traffic, eastbound lanes. As a matter of fact, the beds in most locations is well set right now. I drove it this afternoon. There are some patches that they still need to do some work, but it looks like things are progressing really on schedule this time. At least I could see them completing it by the end of the year. Right now. And then the section between County Trunk Highway H and 31, the design is nearly complete, but if what they showed us last time was 60%, 60% just simply means that they're working out the details, but the layout is all done. And so we'll keep the committee informed on the progress of the project as we get them.
On the H to 31 section, because I have not seen the latest 60%. Have they taken into account some of those residents that live there, their concerns with the width of that road, and try to minimize the turn lane down to the center and the multi-use path getting moved? Is all that put into the plan?
Yes. Some of the concerns, as a matter of fact, again, it's not a guarantee, just what I heard, or what they're looking at right now. They're looking at moving the path further north and eliminating the path along the road. In that way, then it saves more people's property. But then again, it also comes with a lot of challenges because we have a lot of wetlands. So it's being thought about moving out there, but I don't know whether it's going to end up that way.
You know, it's interesting because if you just east of, branch of the pipe or whatever it is. You can see where Mount Pleasant brought that path all the way to KR there.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we just tie it into that and call it a day? Because that obviously goes somewhere. I haven't ridden it. I just happened to drive by there.
So that's one of the things that Clement's talking about. They're talking about where that path, that new path they just finished a couple weeks back, that runs along the east side of the pike there.
Yeah.
They're talking about taking that as opposed to now running right next to the north side of the new KR, pushing that leg of the path north of those houses. It would connect up with that path that was just constructed along the pike, and instead of running along KR here, it would go back and it would run along the backs of those property, because evidently Mount
Pike. Where does that path head, just straight north?
Yes.
Or
yeah.
Does it wind in through those?
That path goes all the way, I believe it goes all the way to Highway 20 and beyond. It goes through Highway 11.
So what do they need this westbound branch of it for?
I believe it's going to actually connect up to the Foxconn, some of the Foxconn site itself. So it's going to go west, and it, if this happens, like you said.
All right, I know that's why some of those details are.
Yeah, they are working with what the citizens gave them if they can accommodate that stuff.
And the other piece that is also being considered is the fact that they want to incorporate those parks. They are planning a park, the village of Mount Pleasant. It's a park that they are planning there, so they're trying to see how they can integrate that path with that park. So that's what they are thinking now. They are working towards that in order to meet some of those requirements that also concerns that citizens raise.
Well, it certainly makes more sense. If you want to go for a bike ride, you don't want to be riding along a divided 5- and 6-lane road, as opposed to be behind those, or I don't guess a few hundred yards back to the north, and it's a lot more peaceful because that's, of course, all restored wetlands up there. That would make more sense to me. Okay, thank you.
Anything else for Clement?
That's good.
Clement, that culvert on 160th Avenue, how is that going?
Well, we inspected the culvert. The culvert seems to be in okay shape. I think what happened, we don't know what hit the culvert and closed it. What we typically do with those, we go and try to open it. But if it requires more than that, we typically don't repair private culverts because that's a private culvert. Mm-hmm. But what we can also do, we can also clean the ditches. I didn't see any issue with the ditch, but if it requires us to clean the ditch so that we have good flow, that would be fine. I did not want to send out the information until I get determination from our expert, our superintendent, because when he looks at it, you can look at it 600 times, he looks at it 5 minutes, he'll tell you all the problems.
And when do you think that will be?
I'll get back to you by not later than tomorrow.
Okay.
I think I actually have his feedback, but it's just that I've not read my emails. So as soon as I read my emails, I'll be able to provide you more information.
All right, thank you.
But tomorrow, I'll be golfing with Ray. So probably, if I don't get back to you tomorrow, it'll probably be Wednesday.
All right,
yes.
Thank you.
Parks is next, though.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Yes, Mr. Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The first thing in front of the committee this evening is a small but important resolution authorizing our Parks Division to apply for grant funding. And this is through the DNR. Anytime you do a DNR grant, no matter how big or small, they require this resolution. This is for the County Conservation AIDS program for us to stock fish again at KD Park. The stocking actually has been going really well. Actually, I just heard back from a fisherman. Maybe I should make this publicly known, but he caught 18 small bass within 2 hours, he said, a couple weeks ago. So the smallmouth bass are thriving over at KD Park. So they're between 12 and 18 inches as now. So some he had to throw back. But either way, they're doing really well. So we want to continue that program over at KD Park. And any little bit of money that the state will chip in for us to do so, I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I've heard people catching the perch already. And that was a year ago, I believe, when we stacked that.
Yeah, perch, bluegill.
And you saw a nice big trout the other night.
Yeah, the rainbow trout.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'll make the motion to approve the resolution.
Second.
Move
Applying.
Applying for the...
And accepting if we get a...
Stocking grant, yes, that would also allow him to accept the grant. All those in favor, Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, and then on to the division report. First item is Kemper Center, and just to update, since we have received multiple grants for the shoreline revetment project, so our engineer Baird consultants have substantially completed the 75% construction drawings for that restoration project. So it was about a 50-50 split with the Wisconsin Coastal Management Program. So again, we're able to get that, at least with the engineering documents completed due to that grant. So we are continuing to work with the consultants just to fine tune the stormwater outfall, since we're proposing putting in a cobble beach for not only accessibility, but also to soften the waves other than hardening the revetment. Also with that plan is for geotechnical site exploration, and then for our consultants to submit permits. So then we're just one step closer to getting this project done. We continue to look for that financial support wherever possible through grants to offset that, but as we all have been sharing with, that's pretty tough to do. That the federal government likes to support the design engineering, but it's pretty tough going as far as the actual construction work. But I know that there was a pretty substantial article in the Journal Sentinel paper on Sunday. It was like 3 pages long, as far as how southeastern Wisconsin is all battling the Lake Michigan shoreline and higher than normal water levels. So maybe that's going to get even more attention, and we will be in a great position that if the senators do listen, maybe there will be opportunities in the future. But that's where we're at with the Kemper Center. Silver Lake Park, just a note, we are very successful with our Eagle Scouts. I just met with another one this afternoon after school, but Connor has completed his Eagle Scout project and constructing a bike repair station for our mountain bikers over at Silver Lake next to the trailhead for the mountain bikers. Next item, I'm not going to go into all these details, but we had a very successful summer youth employment program. I always introduce that at the beginning of the program and like to just give a report on all the different projects they did throughout the park system, and actually we teamed with facilities as well this year. Couple high points, just to not undersell all the great work that these kids have done, but at Petrifying Springs Park, they moved 25 tons of asphalt on the north of County Highway A, where we have our multi-use trail, and that helped taper off all the edging of our multi-use trail to prevent any stress cracking along those edges. So that's rigorous work, grunt work to say the least, but those youth, they did it in stride. Also, they painted our maintenance shop. Since we did the river project, that was more visible from the park side, so now it's not. Now that's a nice forest green. Over at Katy Park, they filled 2 40-yard dumpsters, scrap metals. So we're trying to still clean up that site over at Katy Park. 30 tons of that heavy-duty riprap they moved to our dam. They painted a playground at Fox River Park. And over at Kemper Center, they went up into the attic at the Ambrose. There was absolutely no insulation whatsoever, so the heat is just going up there and wasting. So they actually insulated the Ambrose Center. So hopefully that'll help out with the heating bills for us. So that's the project in a nutshell. Moving on to the Pets Building and Ball Field project. The softball infield mix was replaced by the contractor's subcontractor. So that's looking a lot nicer than what the mix was originally put on there. So there's a little bit of minor punch list items to go. They have to laser grade the ball field and make sure that it has positive drainage, and some other miscellaneous items. So we're hoping that we can get that project done this next month. Pringle Nature Center, you can just read those attached reports at your leisure. And then just wanted to kind of give a recap, because it's been very heavy as far as events that have happened already, ongoing and future events. So as far as a couple highlights of the past events, Picnic in the Park was extremely successful. We had larger attendance numbers than even our 90th anniversary. We do have car counters at both entranceways to try to track how many people actually come to the events over at all of our parks, actually. And when we ran the numbers, plus did a little bit of math, because UW Parkside's parking lot actually filled up where they had to start their overflow of parking, at the very least 17,700. I firmly believe it's probably even more people that attended that event this year. So very, very successful, and kudos to our staff, all the sponsors, partners. We were able to raise well over 12 grand just in sponsorships and in-kind donations from local organizations and businesses. So we're hoping to continue that one, because it's definitely a win-win positive thing for our community. Other than that, just below there is a summer program recap that goes through how well attended all of our summer programs that we put on this last year are. And then it's not slowing down for us whatsoever. We got a very busy September. This coming weekend on Saturday is the Old Settlers Park Oktoberfest that is very well attended. We now partner with the Boys and Girls Club, where a majority of the proceeds go to support the Boys and Girls Club with the Goal in the Garden event on the 14th. A lot of Oktoberfest, it seems to be a popular thing in our county now. But also Pike River Cleanup, they do a fantastic job cleaning up the river. So hopefully we can see some people out at these events. And special thanks to Supervisor Juhas for the epic promise day. You were out there working, even with your boot on.
It was amazing to see all the volunteers that came out to donate those 4 hours. And they may not have ever been in the park, mm-hmm. but they came to remove invasive species, to paint playground equipment, to wash windows, to build displays, make paths, trim bushes, everything and anything. And the paper today said it was $4,800, like in labor.
Yeah, we did
that. It could have been in our budget, but because of the volunteers, mm-hmm. it helped offset that. And they were so happy to be there. This is what they do, and they take pride in that. And when they got done with one thing, they were saying, okay, Monica, what do you want us to do next? Because I was in the Pringle Nature Center. And we just kept going, and the Nature Center looks beautiful. It glistens when you walk inside.
It had like that new car smell when I walked in.
It did.
It was really nice.
It's just nice to see people donate their time to something to give back to the community.
Yeah.
It's very heartwarming.
We had a very successful event, and we actually really look forward to it. There's a lot of upfront planning, no doubt about that on our side, but if you get it all there and ready to go, these volunteers go, and they mean business. So we're able to make even improvements by doing a new nature-based playground area. So they're starting the framework of putting in those elements for a large picnic area, and then the kids have more free play with more nature-based elements. So we really look forward to these volunteers on an annual basis, and I think they look forward to how well it's organized, that before they came to the county parks, it was just like, go pick up litter for 4 hours. And that isn't really value added towards what they truly want to accomplish for the whole entire organization, for Vail Resort. So it's becoming a really good partnership between both organizations. And that is all I have.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In golf operations, our next big initiative is tomorrow, the Kenosha County Executive Cup. It's going to be a great day. We have 152 players that are signed up for it. We're going to have dinner or lunch, and then we're going to have play 18 holes, and then we're going to have dinner, and then we're going to give away a bunch of prizes. And I definitely want to recognize Jim Kupfer for all of his efforts and his everything that he's done for this tournament. I mean, it's been greatly appreciated for all his time and diligence on this. So the next thing I have is the junior clinics wrapped up for the season. We hosted a parent-child tournament Sunday the 4th, and we had 108 players in that tournament. We started this out with, I think we had 36 players to start with that first year, and now our junior programs have grown so much. We had it just on the red nine up until this year, and this year we had to take 18 holes out there because there were so many parents playing with the children, and it was a great day. So that was really good, and then the PGA Junior League wrapped up, and We had three All-Stars, but we went and up to the Legends courses, and we didn't play very well for Kenosha County, so all our courses were eliminated at that point. And then we did have another demo day, TaylorMade Demo Day, August 24th, and it was a great day for this late in the season. We sold three sets of irons, we sold six fairway woods, we sold a hybrid. You know, we had a lot of participation for that, so we came up with another initiative for this Saturday and next Saturday. We're going to have our club fitting challenge. And what we're going to do is we're going to take all of our club fitting equipment. We have TaylorMade, Callaway, Titleist, and Tour Edge, and we're going to have it out there on the range. We're going to take all of our demo clubs, all of our used clubs, and put it out there and have it for people to use. And we're going to try and make this an annual event where, you know, we can use this equipment all summer long and fit people for clubs, and then hopefully have a day where we can clearance this out and give some good deals and really sell off our demo equipment, and a lot of times people are able, other courses are able to send it back to the company, but we think that we can make a little money and have people fit the right clubs and really get a good deal on golf equipment on these days. So we're hoping that this is a big start for this event. And then I just can't tell you enough how many compliments I get daily on the conditions of the golf courses. Our superintendents are doing phenomenal jobs. Our whole maintenance crews are really working hard, and we really have some stars that are coming around. Dan Ramirez over at Petrifying Springs has been mentioned, you know, to me specifically by our pass holders and by our superintendent there, that he's really coming on, doing a great job. So that's awesome to hear. I've included our aeration schedule. You can read that. And that's just going to be punching the greens and removing the cores and making it more so that the oxygen and water can get down into the roots of the grasses, and it's a necessary evil. It kind of destroys our greens, but hopefully doing it this early, we'll have them back in about 2 weeks. And we're definitely planning on, again, the closing of Brightondale will be the Friday before Thanksgiving because of the deer hunting at Bong, and then we'll keep pets open as long as we possibly can over there. So, but yeah, the greens and the conditions are in phenomenal shape at both places. The projects that we're working on is the Pets cart path replacement. I'm really happy to announce that working with Clement and his crew, we got a really high bid in, and we rejected that. That was the bid just for the pulverization and the grading was over what the whole allotment of our budget was. And so we went out and got a quote, and the quote went from $80,000 to do just the pulverization down to $9,000. We got it for $9,000. So you know, we're doing that project. We're having a meeting on Thursday morning to go over you know, the project internally between the highways and golf divisions, and make sure that all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed, so that we have a good plan for that. So next thing what we're doing is we're doing the finishing pond sediment removal in our wastewater treatment plant at Brightondale. We have found a company, OSR, that is going to be coming down, and they're going to have like a vacuum-like hose that goes to the bottom of the lake, and they're going to suck all the sediment off of there. And they're going to leave most of the water, they say, in the pond, but the sediment will be collected. And we're currently investigating whether it'll be in a bag and it'll have to be hauled off, or where you can dig a hole and bury it in an area out there. So we'll see how that goes, but we're really happy to get that done. I think it's going to improve our ratings on our wastewater treatment plant quite a bit. And then the last thing we're doing is just like the lights here, we're working on a lighting project for the parking lot at Brightondale Link. So that'll be really a nice addition. It'll be a lot safer and a lot brighter in the parking lots for our staffing and early morning and late night golfers. So
thank you, Dan. Great told me, just like all of us that work outside, that things gotta look little bit better for us in August.
Oh, August was tremendous. Yeah, it was the best month that I can remember, really. I mean, you know, looking back since 2012, I mean, yeah, we've really went away from Golf Now, which we were doing at Trade Times for their marketing purposes, and we're doing all of our marketing with another marketing company, that One-to-One Marketing, and we have our new point-of-sale system now, and yeah, I think we're going to be more successful in the future. This month, too, has started out great, you know, even with the weather that we've had, you know, we've had a great start to September, so hopefully things will keep rolling.
Good deal. Thank you. Dan, Ray, you're going to wrap her up, huh?
Yeah, I'll try to be brief. You know, that's always a challenge for me. So, as you heard tonight, yeah, we took advantage of the great weather in August. Dan had a real good month. Matt had an over-the-top month. Clement, they got a lot of stuff done. Facilities got a lot of work done. We really made up some ground. Let's see. Close to switch gears, but close to awarding a tower construction project contract to Baycom Motorola for the simulcast project. We got a pre-award meeting this Thursday actually with them. And if everything goes well, there's still a slight chance we're going to be able to start the Silver Lake Tower this year. That's still the goal at this point. In the downtown site, we've got two of the four properties under contract right now. The other two, we're still negotiating, but so far things have gone actually pretty well. Picked up a couple of new drainage-related issues, as it seems like every month there are. Continue to make progress on a number of the long-standing ones as well. Work continues on the 20 DPW budget. Jim passed out the calendar of events as we move into full-blown budget season. We also continue to work with the local municipalities regarding a wide range of potential economic projects. Again, don't know how many of these things are going to happen, but there's pretty much meetings weekly with potential companies moving into the area that will impact either access and or improvements to the roads to accommodate things. So there's a lot. There's definitely a lot going on, and it's very positive stuff overall. That's pretty much it.
Might you ever hear from our friends at the DOT or We Energies, member of that property next to Payne and Dolan, drainage issue?
Yeah, so what we found was that We Energies state was unable to locate a permit being granted for any of the utilities to do the utility work that was in there. So We Energies, it wasn't them. It was, they confirmed it wasn't We Energies. It was some other utility. Don't know who it was because they didn't get a permit. DOT has no record of the permit when that work was done. That said, my last conversation I had on it was that the DOT has authorized us to do any cleanup that's required. Now it's all dried out, and it's good. They're mowing it, I see, and everything. But I honestly don't know if we did any work yet to clean that up where there was kind of residual stuff from when they did that original utility work.
I mean, it can't stay a swamp from March until almost
right.
August. That's unacceptable. So. If they've given us the green light, go in and mow it, you know, plow it out a little bit, you know, clean it out. And that poor woman is being overrun with standing water.
Yeah, and I know that they were doing, when I went through there a couple times, the state, the work on the interstate, and kind of they were redoing drainage in front of her property as well on the east side of that frontage road, and because they had to expand for the actual work taking place up on the main line. So there was work being done there as well, which hopefully once it gets across the road, gets across the frontage road, it'll clear out of there faster now if they did that work correctly. So,
well, you know, you went out there and looked at it too, and I did too, and there's 18 to 20 inches of water standing in her ditch.
Right. There isn't now, but there was.
Well, there's yeah. No one's got water standing.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Except for his culvert, which is all mucked up. But
yeah.
So can we put that
on
the list here?
I'll make sure that gets followed
through. For the winter. She's been suffering a lot of years on this. Thank you.
You betcha.
Okay, we have a motion.
Motion adjourned.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Norgan. All in favor?
Aye.